We are in the book of Ruth, and so I encourage you to turn with me to that little Old Testament book of Ruth, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. If you're not quite sure where it is, you can look it up in the front of your Bible and get a page number for it and turn to it. In the book of Ruth, we saw last week as we started our study, we find examples of great faith. We see grace. And we see commitment to the Lord. When the people of Israel are at a point of great spiritual decay, they have been in a downward spiral, and the events of the book of Ruth happen at the same time of the events of the book of Judges. And in that dark period of time in Israel's history, we find here in the book of Ruth real examples of real people living real life. And we noted as we looked at Ruth 1 that oftentimes real life equals pain. And real life equals crisis. We were introduced to a woman named Naomi, who had a husband named Elimelech. There was famine in the land of Israel, and so Elimelech, desiring to do his best for his family, took Naomi and his two sons to the land of Moab so they could eat. While they were there, Elimelech dies. Naomi, totally dependent on her husband's provision, was faced with crisis. But she still had two adult sons who took two wives. And then both sons die. Crisis. And we find at the end of Ruth 1, Naomi returning to Israel, angry at God. And the people of the city of Bethlehem saw Naomi coming back along with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And remember, her name meant pleasant one, or my pleasant one, my delightful one. And Naomi's response was, "Don't call me Naomi. You call me Mara," which is the Hebrew word for bitter. And in chapter 1, verse 20, she said, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord is witness against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" And just as is true in Naomi's life is often true in ours, that when we go through times of pain, it's very difficult for us to still recognize God's hand at work in our lives. But He is. And we talked about our need to somehow fly above the storm, to get above the storm so that we can get a proper perspective, and the need to stay in this book to find encouragement during the storm, the need to stay connected with brothers and sisters in the Lord, to see above the clouds, to remember that God is good, that God is actively at work in your life and in my life, bringing about His best, active at work making you and making me more like Jesus Christ. And as we come to Ruth 2 today, we are going to see God doing just that. We are going to see God in all of His sovereignty, His rule, directing the events of life in order that He can bring about His plan of grace. And we're going to note that God is good. Let's read Ruth 2 together, starting the read in verse 1. "Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, she's the young Moabite woman who returned from Naomi, who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She's been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to seek refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And also you shall purposefully pull out for her some grain from the bundles, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who did not withdraw his kindness to the living and to the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, the man's our relative. He's one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Ruth 2. In the book of Ruth, we see God's sovereign hand at work. God sovereignly directing events so that his plan is carried out. His plan of grace. God sovereignly directing. God demonstrating his goodness. We have a security company here at Faith Bible Church. Every evening, our building is secured, and there's a company here in town who we use for that, and that company, it's local, and when you call the company, you'll hear an answering machine. Rarely do they ever pick up the phone. And for about a year and a half, this company who's owned by a Christian had this little message. He says, and remember that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. That was a great message. It's a message that you and I need to remember. And we need to remember it in days like this, in days of sunshine. Because guaranteed, we're going to face days in the clouds. Guaranteed, we're going to be in the storm. And it's important now to remember that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. God is active in the lives of His people. He is sovereignly controlling the events of our lives to bring about His best in your life and my life. Now, Naomi doesn't see that right now. Naomi has gone through crisis. Naomi is hurting. And right now, Naomi's angry at God. But our author of the book of Ruth, our human author of the book of Ruth, is in a position where he can see clearly. He sees God's hand. And as we come to the first three verses of Ruth 2, we see God orchestrating the lives of His people according to His gracious plan. God's at work. Verse 1 introduces a new person for us in this account, a guy named Boaz. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a relative. And it says he's a man of great wealth. Literally, that Hebrew phrase translated a man of great wealth here is the same Hebrew phrase that we found in the book of Judges referring to the man Gideon, where it said he was a mighty man of valor. Same Hebrew phrase. In that context, in the life of Gideon, we saw him as a great warrior. In this context, maybe a parallel meaning of that phrase is seen, that while Boaz is not necessarily a warrior, he is a mighty man. He is a man who's seeking after God. He is a man of a kind heart. He is a man of great substance here. He's wealthy, but he's using his position for good. And so our author refers to him as a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. He's of the same family as Naomi's husband, Boaz. Next, we're introduced again to Ruth, the Moabitess. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3 tells us that a descendant of Moab would not even be allowed to enter into worship with the rest of Israel in the tabernacle and later the temple. It's even by God's grace that Ruth is going to play such a central part of this account. And it tells us that Ruth, the Moabitess, says to her mother-in-law, I need to go glean in the field. Can I go? Evidently, she's become aware of the Old Testament regulation that says that an Israelite should not harvest the corners of their field so that there'd be food for someone who's poor or a stranger. And Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10 tells us about that. But remember, this is written at a period of time. This is occurring at a period of time where Israel is at a spiritual low. A lot of people are just living for self. They don't want to obey God. And so Ruth says, maybe I can find favor in someone's sight. Maybe someone's actually doing that. And Naomi says, go. Now remember, in verse 1, we've been introduced to this man, Boaz, who's actually a relative, who is a man of substance. He's well thought of. In verse 2, our author lets us know that Ruth is going to go glean. And then we come to verse 3. It says, so she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. Literally in the Hebrew language, in fact, it even talks about it in the notes of my Bible. Literally, that is her chance chanced upon. In other words, our author is saying this. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and quote unquote, she just happened to come to the field of Boaz. Our human author of the book of Ruth is saying there's no chance about it. She just didn't happen to come. God has orchestrated these events. God's hand is all over this account. God is sovereignly in control. God is directing this account. He is bringing about His gracious plan. When I was in about fifth grade, I decided that eventually when I got in the junior high, I wanted to be in the band. And so I started playing the same instrument that my father played, an alto sax. Great instrument. As far as I'm concerned, still the best instrument in the band. And I can remember in those junior high and senior high years, when we would get ready for our next concert, all the sheet music would come out and we were supposed to take it home and run through it. And you always kind of feel sorry for, like, the tuba guys or the trombone players, because when they got their sheet music, it's just like, boom, 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 boom. And like, you think, oh, what fun is that going to be? They never get to be the melody. All they got to see was their one line of music. It was only the director who got a full score that got to see how everything fit together perfectly, how all these separate lines would come together and make this gorgeous collage of music. And sometimes all we see is our one line. And if that line takes us through hurt, if that line takes us through crisis, it's pretty tough for us to see past the storm. But our author of the book of Ruth clearly sees that God is the director. That God has orchestrated the lives of His people in such a way that His purpose for our lives is brought about. I want to just remind us of a couple of passages in the New Testament that talk about the fact that God is actively bringing about His best in your life. The first one is the one that probably almost all of us are familiar with, and that's in Romans 8. Romans 8, 28. It's a great verse to keep in mind. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. If you are here this morning and you have come to that point in your life where you put your trust in the person of Jesus Christ, you're depending on Jesus Christ for your salvation, and not only have you put your trust in Him, but you are trying to live your life in obedience to God's revealed will in this book, you can have great confidence that nothing enters your life apart from God's permissive will. That God is at work in your life. Whether you're right now in the sunshine or you're in the storm, God is at work bringing about His best in your life. God is orchestrating the lives of His people to bring about His gracious plan. Now, in that plan, He uses people. And we're going to see in verses 4 through 17 that the people that God uses, oftentimes He brings reward to them. That He is gracious with those who deal graciously with others. And that's what we see in verses 4 through 17. First, we see the godly character of this man, Boaz. Look at verse 4. Boaz comes across his workers in the field, and the first thing out of his mouth is, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." In his everyday life, he's just going to work. It'd be like your boss coming up to you, and you're working at your desk, and your boss says, "May the Lord be with you today." Probably doesn't happen a whole lot at Rockwell Collins, does it? "May the Lord be with you today." That's the kind of guy this man is. Well, Boaz notices this stranger in his fields, and he says to his foreman, "Whose young woman is this?" And the foreman says, "Well, that's the woman that came back with Naomi." And Boaz had already heard about her. He knew about her. And he tells her, "You stay in my field." In fact, in verse 9, he says, "I've already commanded my servants not to touch you." Remember, this is a time of great moral decay. Boaz says, "You treat her good." And then he goes on and says, "If you get thirsty, you just come take water out of our water." It'd be like if you've ever, as a young person, ever walked beans or to tassel corn, or if you ever worked on a road crew, there'd usually be like one of those big got coolers on the back of a pickup. He's saying, "You come get water out of our got cooler. You just help yourself." Verse 10, Ruth says, "Why are you being so gracious to me? Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner?" And literally, when she says, "Why have I found favor," that's the little Hebrew word for grace. "Why are you so gracious to me?" And Boaz says this in verse 11, "Because I'm aware of all that you have done for Naomi. You left your father and mother. You left the land of your birth. You came to this people. You don't even know us." And then he says this, "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." You see, Ruth had set aside everything so that she could serve her mother-in-law. She even set aside her safety. If you just look down through the text, verse 9, Boaz told his servants, "Do not touch her." In verse 15, he says, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not insult her." Verse 16, he says, "And leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." Over in verse 22, Naomi is going to tell Ruth, "You stick with Boaz's servants." Why? "Lest others fall upon you in another field." She put her personal safety aside so that she could help provide for the needs of Naomi. She was a gracious woman. And Boaz says, "Ruth, may God just be gracious to you because you've been gracious to Naomi." There's an interesting verse in the book of Proverbs. If you can keep your hand in Ruth and turn over to the book of Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Proverbs 19, 17. Never noticed this verse before until I was working on this series. Proverbs 19, 17 says this, "He who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." That's a neat verse. It's saying that if you extend grace to someone in need, it's as if you're making a loan to God, and God's going to repay that loan. Here, Boaz is saying that to Ruth. Ruth, verse 12, "May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord. You have invested so much in your mother-in-law, I'm just asking the Lord to bless you." Next Saturday, this coming Saturday, will be the women's specialty. encourage you to be praying about that. It's an outreach that every fall the Women of Faith Bible Church put on, and they invite women who may not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they come and they have some food together, and then Tana Richard from our church family is going to share her testimony, how she came to faith in Jesus, and be praying for Tana. And at the end of that event, each year, they give away some pretty neat gifts to some of those who are visiting the event. Gifts that are so cool that I kind of wish I could be a visitor coming to the event. And I happen to know, like this year, some of the gifts are some really cool Calphalon cookware. Now, I like nice cookware. Man, there's going to be some folks probably there who that would be meaningless to them. They probably have a Calphalon dog dish. I mean, they have got it all. And maybe the reason they've got it all is because they've been selfish, so selfish over their whole life, they can have it all. So to them, that Calphalon's nothing. You know, isn't there a little bit of part of you that said, man, I hope that person doesn't get that. I really want this person to get it. I want this person who's just been such a selfless person throughout her life. I hope she gets it. She deserves it. And that's kind of what Boaz is saying. You know what? You have been such a selfless woman. You've left everything. You have left your security just to be there for your mother-in-law. I hope God just showers you with blessing. That's what Boaz is saying. I hope that the Lord just showers you. Now, there's an interesting comment that Boaz makes in verse 12. He said, may the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. You see, Boaz recognizes that Ruth has put her trust in the one true God. And she is trusting him so much that it's as if God is being pictured like a hen with his wing over his precious chick, Ruth. It reminds me of what has become one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, Psalm 63, verse 7. Psalm 63:7. This is a verse, and I've shared it many times with you over the years, that when my wife was being treated for her breast cancer with chemotherapy many years ago, someone in our church family wrote this verse out on a little card and gave it to us, and it's stuck with me ever since. It's simply this: for thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. You know what that verse is saying? That verse is saying that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. That verse is saying that I can be, when I come to the point where I am completely convinced that I am underneath the protective wing of God, then I can have complete confidence that there's nothing that touches my life apart from His permissive will. And when I am confident of that, I can have joy. I can have joy regardless of my circumstances. I can be going through crisis. I can be going through the greatest storm of my life and still sing for joy when I am confident of the fact that God is doing His best in my life. Under His wing, I can sing for joy. Under the confidence that there's nothing touching my life apart from His permissive will. With the confidence that He is orchestrating His sovereign plan for grace and for good in my life, I can have joy. God is good all the time in your life and in my life. The human author of the book of Ruth sees God's sovereign hand in what's unfolding in the life of Naomi through her daughter-in-law Ruth and this kinsman Boaz. it tells us in verse 17 that Ruth gleaned about 30 pounds of grain. Because Boaz told his workers, you start pulling some grain out of the sheaves and just lay it on the ground and make it really easy for her. So she ends up getting an entire ephah of barley, probably about 30 pounds. Brings that home. Naomi sees it and says, where have you been gleaning? Well, Ruth says, isn't this guy, his name was Boaz. And Naomi just explodes with happiness. And she says in verse 20, may he be blessed of the Lord who's not withdrawn the kindness to the living and to the dead. And again, Naomi said to her, this man's our relative. In fact, she says to her, he is our redeemer. In my Bible, it's translated closest relative. And that's going to become a very important term for us next week in chapter 3. You see, Naomi sees in Boaz that Boaz is being kind to them. Boaz is being gracious to them. She recognizes Boaz's kindness. She recognizes that maybe Boaz could be the answer to their problems. What she doesn't see that's clearly there is the hand of God. I want you to think for a second about your UPS guy. Everybody in this room has a UPS guy. I'm sure you do. Even if you live in the country, you've got a UPS guy. Now, think about the nicest thing that your UPS guy has ever brought to your door. Maybe it's just like this phenomenal gift that your UPS guy brought. For me, the nicest thing that my UPS guy ever brought was clear back in the 1980s. It was a stainless steel Ruger GP100 357. It was just gorgeous. Now, that's probably not what your, it's probably not your best memory, but think about the absolute best thing that your UPS guy ever brought to your door. When your UPS guy brought that special box, that special package, that unbelievable gift to your door, did you take your arms and throw them around your UPS guy and said, oh man, I can't believe you're so gracious to me. I can't believe you're so special to me. That is the best gift I've ever gotten. And just start hugging on your UPS guy? Probably not. Maybe the UPS guy wishes he'd get a hug once in a while, but you probably didn't hug your UPS guy. Why? Because your UPS guy is just a messenger. That gift didn't really come from your UPS guy. That gift came from someone else with whom you have a relationship. One of the truths that we see in Scripture is that when someone is gracious to you, that someone is just a UPS guy. That grace has come to you from one with whom you are in relationship. We looked at it last week. We looked at it several weeks ago, but I'm going to ask you to turn one more time. It's such an important truth. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It's driving this truth home in the context of a discussion on spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ, through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Those verses are saying this, that when you are loved on by somebody, Someone is gracious to you. Someone is kind to you. Someone serves you. Someone encourages you. They're just a UPS guy. That love, that service, that encouragement, that provision in your life has come from the hand of God through a servant. Naomi doesn't see that yet. Naomi's still angry at God because she's in crisis. She's lost sight of the fact that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. She doesn't recognize the fact that God is sovereign in her life. She's lost sight of the fact that under His wing, I can sing for joy. Because I can be completely convinced that there's nothing that touches my life apart from His permissive will. And whether that is pain or crisis, God is at work in my life bringing about His best according to His sovereign plan of grace. Father, I thank You for Ruth 2 and pray this week that You would help remind us by Your Spirit that You are a good God. And for those who are Your children through faith in Jesus Christ, for those who are trying to live their life according to Your revealed will, we can have great confidence. We can sing for joy under the shadow of Your wing, knowing that there's nothing that touches our lives apart from Your permissive will, that You are actively orchestrating Your sovereign, gracious plan in each of our lives to bring about Your best in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.